Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk and delighted to be your host at this iVow podcast. And sitting across the table from me is Jane Anyango of Kenya, who is a peacemaker in residence at the Joan B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice at the University of San Diego. So Jane, jumbo and karibu.
Asante.
And I have to share with our listeners that about 3 years ago, you and I met outside the United Nations in New York City on a very, very cold March day. And we have stayed connected, and now I'm so excited to be able to welcome you to San Diego.
Thank you so much.
And I'm awfully glad that you've arrived here when the weather is warm.
It's far much better than New York.
And we're delighted about that for you. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And you are here as a peacemaker, and also because you are the founding director of the Polycom Development Project based in Nairobi's informal settlement of Kibera. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us some more about the development project and your work?
Oh, thanks so much, Jenny. I live and work in a slum settlement called Kibera. Nowadays, we call them informal settlements because we don't have title deeds. So Kibera is an informal settlement just near the, not very far from the central business district. We are only 5 kilometers from the central business district. Our population is estimated at 1 million people.
And Did you say 1 million?
Yes.
1 million.
Okay. Yes, and we live in 2.5 square acre piece of land, meaning it's a very congested area. So I'm working with women and girls, and it's about giving women and girls a voice to influence change in the community, especially on matters that touch on their lives. These are women who are very much underprivileged. They are prone to violence and manipulation because they are very poor. Mm-hmm. They work very, very hard, but it's always assumed that they don't work hard. The income is very low. Mm. But what we are saying is that no condition is permanent. We can always work very hard and rise beyond this. Mm-hmm. So my advocacy is around empowerment. Mm. It's about accepting what you have right now and working towards making it better.
What a wonderful phrase and what a wonderful mission to have. And are women able to do that? Are they working their way out of Kibera?
We are working on this. They are working their way out of Kibera. It's always one at a time, mm-hmm. and it's a big step. The truth is these women have responsibilities already. So whenever they're able to put some little money together out of the businesses they do, then it's time to pay for rent. It's time to pay for school fees. It's time to get something for someone. So as much as they may not succeed in making their lives better, they're doing it for their children. Mm-hmm. And that is why we are also working with these girls, to help them understand that they can't just have their minds here. There is something better out there. Mm-hmm. So the situation that they're having in Kibera is temporary, and they can only work their way out if they are serious with their education.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of projects do you lead for them, and what sort of jobs can they get while they're still inside the slum?
My slogan for work is Jipende. Jipende is a Kiswahili word saying love yourself. So I believe in self-appreciation and worthiness. I believe that if you love yourself, then you make informed decisions as far as your life is concerned. So I work with adolescent girls through schools. Mm-hmm. We have a platform where we give them a chance to write the issues that affect them through anonymous notes. We call it the talking boxes. Oh. So they write whatever they want to share and they put in the boxes. This is the first step towards liberation. After that, we have speak out forums. They are encouraged to talk. Mm-hmm. We have a program around hygiene and sanitation, mm-hmm. where we promote responsible use of public toilet. And this came from them purely. It was about what do you really want to change. So in Kibera, we don't have gents and ladies. We have toilets. So it was like, these things are a bit dirty for girls. You know, mm-hmm. the way we are, we have to squat down, and if it's that dirty, then it will definitely affect you. So the girls took it upon themselves to encourage people to use the toilets responsibly. Mm-hmm. It's working very well. Mm-hmm. So out of this program, we also have distribution of pads and panties. Many girls cannot afford them.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it's a conversation that you cannot have at home. Because, like, you know, mommy is struggling with all these things to pay your school fees, to pay rent, to buy for you dresses, by the way. These private things we never talk about, and they are not an issue in mommy's diary.
Mm-hmm.
So we also try as much as possible to provide this for the girls.
Oh,
we have a program on sports,
mm-hmm.
where the sports ground is the space where they bring, meet and talk, and just share anything. It's just their space to talk. We have a program we call Educator. So Educator is about mobilizing resources for post-primary education.
Mm-hmm.
For girls who are willing to pursue their high school education.
Mm-hmm.
In Kenya, people are only serious with bright girls from poor families. A girl from the slum, anything can happen, not to make you pass your exams. It's a 3-day after 8 years. Within these 3 days, anything can happen
mm-hmm.
that will interfere with you and make you not pass your exams.
And some of those things would be unsafe things, I think. Would
yes,
that be correct?
Yes, anything. Mm-hmm. At times I make it as simple as maybe several cats, wild cats around can just decide to have a party on top of your roof. So they make noise the whole night and you can't sleep. Then you cannot be able to concentrate on your exams. So it's as simple as that.
Girls around the world are all the same.
But things do happen. So what we are saying is that if a girl wants to have her education, then don't deny her the chance because she never achieved the pass mark you had set for her, which in Kenya is 350 out of the possible 500.
Mm.
So these are the main programs we have for girls.
Mm.
With the women, we are trying to promote positive ethnicity. Kenya is
like
so much divided along tribal lines. And we are trying to play the game of being Kenyans, trying to pretend that we are not from different communities. So what I'm trying, my advocacy is about telling them that our diversity should be our pride. We can never be all the same. But we should learn that as much as we are not that the same, we each and every person have a right to enjoy her freedom.
Mm.
You know, we don't have to limit anything for someone. So out of this, we really celebrate the beauty of our diversity when we get together and we are able to sing our different songs and just our different dances and just celebrate things within our communities. It makes you feel like it's important to appreciate somebody else. In fact, with this one, my slogan is, yours is your best and mine is my best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just important to respect mine, and I also respect each and every person.
I love all these very positive statements. I love also the positive ethnicity. That's a very powerful phrase.
Mm.
So during the elections of 2007 and 2008, there was a lot of violence in Nairobi. And how is the government poised toward helping you with funding, with programs that support you? How is everything politically and as I say, financially for you, can you get any support?
I don't really get any support, especially from the government.
Mm.
My work is voluntary. Nowadays, I tell people, hey, you people, I'm going into retirement age before I'm actually paid, before I start receiving my salary. This is a bit unfair.
It is, extremely, for all the work you've put in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So during the post-election violence, that is when I started my work with the women.
Mm-hmm.
I'd initially just work with girls. And this is the time that one of my girls was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I organized the women to hold a protest. And we had this big campaign that we just brought everybody together to reflect on their role in post-election violence, just going deep in yourself and asking yourself, what did I really do?
Mm.
And how do I grow past this?
Mm.
So this is how we started working with the women. We have our own impact in the community. The government may not realize this, but the truth is they do realize when there are issues in the community, we are called by the administration to intervene.
Mm.
When the camps were closed immediately after the post-election violence, we were called by the administration to take back people who had been displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually did it just by talking to the neighbors and convincing them that these are your neighbors. So these are things that are never highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that in the development world, development partners believe in big organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in big initiatives. And the truth is they never measure the impact.
Mm-hmm.
They get the numbers. Only the person you're working with or the person you're trying to change their life can tell you if there's an impact in the intervention. that is brought to them.
So that really comes from the grassroots level, doesn't it? That's where you make the impact and where you can measure the impact.
That is where you can measure the impact. Mm. And if you don't work closely with these people to develop the programs, then they don't know the change you are looking for. And the truth is, as much as people celebrate success, if you don't work with the people, then there's no success, because the people cannot attest to it.
And it seems so easy and simple for so many of us to understand. It's unfortunate that governments don't always understand that, isn't it? Very much so.
Most governments believe in just their initiatives.
Yes.
They believe in the indicators that they develop.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, what they get maybe is what they are looking for.
That's not a very wise statement.
On the ground. If they are looking at building 10 toilets, and they build 10 toilets, then they don't care whether people are able to access them or not, you know.
And so the access could be that challenge, right? It could be the biggest problem.
The problem in Kibera is that people pay for toilets.
Pay to use them or pay
to... Yes, pay to use them, five shillings per visit.
Oh, my heavens. So five shillings equates now in America, just for our listeners. I'm trying to remember from when I was there. Five shillings is a very small amount. It's about a dime, I think.
I don't know the difference.
You don't know? Oh, that's fine. We can maybe add that to our website. Yes. But anyway, that is money that they probably don't have.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of
because
money.
Most families are slightly large. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of money. So the problem are not the toilet blocks. The problem are the fact that people are not able to afford them. So when people come into Kibera and they still see Kibera a bit dirty, then they're like, hey, these people need toilets. The truth is, we don't need them. They are there. We need to access them.
Mm.
So but nobody's talking about this because nobody's consulting. It's an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have toilets. Mm. That is why we have everywhere messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good to talk with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what most governments don't do.
So you are working, no doubt, in your work to change that process and to change that lack of communication. I would also want to ask you about what is the situation with violence inside Kibera?
Kibera is always very shaky.
Mm.
Anytime there's any commotion in the country, Kibera is affected and badly affected. They say Kibera is the heartbeat of Kenya. So when Kibera erupts, the whole country is affected.
In what way? So I can understand perhaps how the eruption may come up, but in what way is the country affected?
Kibera is cosmopolitan. Mm. It's a settlement by people from all over the country. And it's the opposition zone. This is where our former prime minister was the member of parliament for quite a long time.
Mm.
So most people in Kibera are in the opposition. And the government is always very, very hard on people in opposition. We had protests in May and June.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ugliest. You know, during the post-election violence, the protest, the violence that people experienced was like in the outskirts of Kibera, not really in the slums. In the slums were just for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
But now this time the government went right inside with their big vehicles and the big tanks and the poisonous water and they sprayed the houses.
Mm.
To date, you walk through the houses, which are made out of mud, then you still feel your eyes, your nose itching.
Oh, because
and there are people.
Yeah, it's stayed and seeped into the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And have they made any promises for change or improvement as a result of storming into the slum?
No, they have said you try it again, you're going to come with more force than what you experienced.
Mm. So you're back to square one and maybe further back.
We are not back to square one because previously we had issues around negative ethnicity.
Mm.
We had people turning against each other. At times I tell people we are past that. We had early protests. It never turned tribal. No properties was destroyed. So to me, it's a check. We have succeeded in that. And the properties were not destroyed. So it's about working on the next step.
Mm.
Maybe government brutality should form part of our list.
Mm-hmm.
But now that is external.
Mm.
We have been focusing on within.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And it sounds as though you're becoming very effective with the grassroots peacemaking and setting quite an example. I just want to turn now to your experience here in San Diego. You're here for approximately 8 weeks, 10 weeks, in residence. What will you gain from this experience that will leverage your position and your role when you return to Kenya and to Kibera?
It's a time to really reflect on my work. It's a time to really reflect on my work and even my strategies. I left something going on back at home, mm-hmm. and I'm able to monitor from far. Mm-hmm. I'm already experiencing so much. Like, I look at the energy in my girls since I left. They have done so much. I'm asking myself, hey, was I blocking them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at times when they are more effective when you are away, then you really know that I've done good mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
I have also time to learn from others. I have time to share about my work. And I think it's really building my confidence, the fact that I've been able to lecture in two classes.
Mm-hmm.
And these are PhD classes.
Mm, yes.
And I'm not ashamed to say that I have very, very low education, but I've still managed this far. So
you're lecturing, just excuse my interrupting you, but at the University of San Diego in two mm-hmm. PhD classes. What are you lecturing on? What are the topics?
First, I shared about the effectiveness of my work, about my work. It was about response within the community, responding to an issue that touched on your life. And not an issue that you read about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was very relevant because they had a lot of questions for me. And then I talked about our peace strategy.
Mm.
What has worked for us?
Mm-hmm.
What is effective? Why it's sustainable? And I also got a lot of response.
I'm sure.
Yes.
And that's wonderful to think that you're doing that here. So very sadly, we're coming to the close of our conversation. But I'd just like to ask a final question of you. What do we not understand about Kenya, understand about the politics and the situation in Nairobi, and particularly the situation in Kibera, that you would like our listeners, American people, to know and understand?
What we don't understand is that there's so much going on at the community level,
mm-hmm.
and that our informal communities are always affected so much by the discussions that go on at the national level.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are so many interventions at the community level.
Mm.
We should be supported. So as much as we are trying to support countries, as much as Americans are keen on supporting Kenyans to have peaceful elections, let them know that there are community, the decision or the solutions lies with the communities.
Mm.
They should try to help the community. They should try to bring their support to the community level.
Do you have many outsiders helping, you know, in the actual slum region? I mean, when I say outsiders, I mean people like me and other mm-hmm. Americans or others from around the world?
There are people who are lucky to have them. There are people who are lucky to have them in the slums. We have organizations in the slums that are doing very much okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before we close, I also want our listeners to be aware that in 2014, you were featured in a documentary entitled I Will Not Be Silenced,
mm-hmm.
in case some of our listeners might like to look for that and to view it. This has been such a pleasure for me, not only to welcome you to San Diego, finally, and to see you again, but to learn about the incredible work that you're doing and your resilience and your fortitude. And so, Jane, we want to thank you, or say asante sana to you, to Jane Anyango of Kenya. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.